Monday, January 13th. Good afternoon. It's 9 degrees in Richland Center at 12:07. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wind chills are wicked today. Be sure to cover all exposed skin. Frostbite can happen in as little as 30 minutes. Frostbite symptoms can include pain, numbness, swelling, blisters, and skin discoloration. It's most common on your fingers, toes, nose, and ears. It may lead to permanent irreversible tissue damage. Limit your time outdoors and warm up your body often. If you believe that you have frostbite, go inside and seek shelter. Never rub it warm. You'll damage the freezing cells even further. Frostbite symptoms appear in three stages that include feeling cold, sore, and painful, which is frost nip. Then pins and needles, which is a surface frostbite. Lastly, numbness indicates a deep frostbite. If you're cold, your animals are too. Just like people, pets' cold tolerance can vary from pet to pet based on their coat, body fat, activity level, and health. So be aware and adjust accordingly. You may need to shorten your dog's walks in frigid temperatures. And short-haired pets and short-legged pets may also become colder faster because their bellies and bodies are more likely to come into contact with the snow-covered ground. Pets with diabetes, heart disease, kidney disease, and hormonal imbalances may also have a harder time regulating their body temperatures. The same goes for very young and very old animals. Some things you can do is provide choices or stay inside. Play dress up and consider a dog sweater or coat, and always check their paws. They could crack or bleed from stepping on ice and are also prone to frostbite, just like us. So if your pet is whining, shivering, seems anxious, slows down or stops moving, or they seem weak and start looking for warm places to burrow, get them back inside quickly because they are showing signs of hypothermia. If you have frozen chicken and cheese taquito products in your freezer from Aldi, you'll want to check the package. There's a recall on Casa Mamita chicken and cheese taquitos produced on July 3rd and September 25th. Over 24,000 pounds of taquito products are being recalled. They have Best Buy dates of 7/3/25 and 9/25/25 on the bottom panel. A consumer found a piece of metal in the chicken and cheese taquito, and another person reported a dental injury from the product. If you have these in your freezer, you should throw them out or return them to the Aldi where you purchased them. The man arrested and charged in the deaths of three people in New Lisbon has a $5 million bond set in the case during an appearance Friday afternoon in a Juneau County courtroom. Judge Stacey A. Smith ruled the large bond was appropriate for Virgil Thu after hearing comments from Juneau County District Attorney Kenneth Hamm. Originally charged with three counts of first-degree intentional homicide in the deaths of Elizabeth Kolba and two juvenile females, ages 12 and 13, WXOW says more charges were filed against through Friday. They included three counts of hiding a corpse, possession of a firearm by a felon, taking and driving a vehicle without owner's consent, and resisting or obstructing an officer. During his comments, Hamm asked for the high cash bond after detailing what Thu did during the 12 days after the homicides and before his arrest. Hamm said that Thu admitted to law enforcement after his arrest on Thursday that he tried to hide his crimes as well as try to elude law enforcement. Hamm told the court that Thu stuck to rural areas and also took a car in an effort to get away. A Juneau County Sheriff's deputy arrested Thu in Elroy early Thursday afternoon after someone called the sheriff's office to report a suspicious person. Thu returns to court on February 13th. A fight over the upcoming state budget is already looming in the legislature. Speaking to WISN's Upfront, Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux says his Republican colleagues will be tossing out much of Democratic Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal.
All of his policy issues that he's already talking about, we'll pull out all the policy issues right away. It's a budget. It's not a policy vision for the governor.
Lemieux says Republican leadership is planning to send along a separate tax cut bill before getting into budget proceedings and that Republicans aren't going to honor a request to fully fund the UW system.
I mean, outside of Madison and maybe one or two other campuses, enrollment's declining. So I'm not sure why it makes sense to continue to put more and more money into a system that's in decline.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers has broad veto discretion over budget bills, and this could be a way to force the issue of what to do with billions of dollars in tax surplus before he's allowed to use his veto pen on the budget. Governor Tony Evers, chair of the Wisconsin State Building Commission, has announced the commission approved a comprehensive budget adjustment for various University of Wisconsin system projects and authority to construct two important projects. The commission's approval of key projects Friday comes as Republican lawmakers on the commission last month delayed reallocating over $70 million made available to other projects the commission previously approved coming in under budget toward critical UW system building projects that were likewise already approved by the commission. The commission approved reallocating funding to support $29 million for an expanded UW-Madison engineering building to address critical infrastructure and facility needs, expand enrollment, degrees, and program offerings, modernize classrooms and instructional and research laboratories, and to support its goal of increasing student enrollment by 1,000 in the engineering program. $10.5 million for the Winther Hall, Heidi Hall entry additions and renovations at UW-Whitewater to resolve infrastructure deficiencies and improve instructional and departmental spaces throughout the facility. $5.4 million for the completion of Heritage Hall at UW-Stout, creating a new unified home for the College of Arts and Human Sciences by consolidating and co-locating spaces across several facilities. And a small project funding release to help address the backlog of maintenance and repair projects across the state. Wisconsin gets a C for its gun laws. That's according to the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence. But the balance of the legislature is changing, and some advocates hope gun laws get more attention. Civic Media's Lisa Hale reports.
The Giffords Law Center compares a state's gun laws with that state's deadly outcomes. And according to Lindsay Nichols from the center, they find the same results every time. The stronger the state's gun laws, the lower the death rate. And the weaker the laws, the more people who die.
We know that these gun laws work, and there really is no reason why legislators shouldn't be taking action to prevent these tragedies.
While Wisconsin has enacted basic gun safety laws, she notes that the state could also pass bans on assault weapons or high-capacity magazines or lengthen the waiting time for a firearms purchase. She says the state could also benefit from red flag laws. Despite public pressure for new gun safety laws in 2020, Wisconsin has not passed any significant gun legislation in years. Democrats have tried unsuccessfully to introduce at least 30 gun safety measures since 2019.
Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have fallen 3.9 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.79 a gallon today, according to Gas Buddy's survey of 3,112 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 0.8 cents per gallon higher than a month ago and stand 3.2 cents per gallon higher than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.54 a gallon yesterday, while the most expensive was $3.19 a gallon, a difference of 65 cents per gallon. The national average price of gasoline has fallen 1.1 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $3.02 a gallon today. The national average is up 0.9 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 3.2 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy data compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has increased 3.7 cents in the last week and stands at $3.52 per gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said, quote, "While gas prices haven't shifted significantly yet, oil prices have climbed to their highest level since October, driven by President Biden's new sanctions on so-called dark vessels, which have slowed countries like Iran's ability to sell oil. This could soon lead to more noticeable increases in gas prices. Seasonally weak demand may help soften the impact of any increases for now, but with refinery maintenance season just weeks away, when refiners typically reduce gasoline production, motorists should be prepared for the spring rally to kick off." A new recycling practice may explain why the amount of collected materials dropped by nearly 7,000 tons between 2013 and 2022 in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Policy Forum Senior Research Associate Tyler Brins says it's called lightweighting. Companies have shifted to using less materials to package their products, which leads to less waste in the system. Brins says a plastic water bottle today weighs nearly 40% less than one from 10 years ago. The barricades are back out along roads on the Lac des Flambeaux Reservation. WAOW-TV in Wausau reports tribal leaders are preparing to block off roads on their reservation in under a week if the town of Lac des Flambeaux doesn't pay easement fees on the roads. The tribe is giving the town until Thursday to get current. Those roads cross tribal lands to get to private homes of non-tribal members, and the companies in charge of those properties stopped paying easements decades ago. A spokesperson for the tribe says Thursday will be the end of a 90-day warning of non-payment. With long winters in Wisconsin, it's not uncommon to hibernate and feel down. The American Psychiatric Association says that about 5% of Americans experience a form of depression known as seasonal affect disorder, called SAD. People with SAD tend to have feelings of hopelessness and decreased motivation to take part in activities that they usually enjoy. Even those who don't technically meet the threshold for this disorder may see spikes in anxiety and depressive symptoms. In fact, some scientists suggest more than 40% of Americans have these SAD symptoms to some degree in the winter. Just like some animals in a state of dormancy to survive the harsh winters, there are similarities with us. SAD may have its roots in ways we've adapted to save energy at a time of year when food was scarce. We typically gain weight. Research says that diets are at their worst in the cold months, generally slap on an additional 1 to 3 pounds. This sounds just like animals saving up for food to store as fat for hibernation. Our bodies slow down. We tend to stay inside more, which leaves hardly any exposure to sunlight, bringing our bodies lower levels of serotonin, which plays a key role in our moods. So take that walk outside on sunny days, or experts say to invest in light therapy. Use in a serotonin bulb is believed to regulate feelings of happiness and anxiety. The impact of social media on our children and adolescents is difficult to measure, and there are growing concerns about mental health risk. Sarah Young is a psychiatrist with Gunderson Health System.
We typically are finding that it depends a lot on the kind of feedback that a person is getting through social media, whether that has a positive impact on their mental health or a negative impact on their mental health. So if they are using social media to make social connections in a way that is might be difficult for them in person, that can be a very positive thing. Or finding people who understand some of the struggles that they're having or have similar interests, that can be very positive. Or if they're getting positive feedback from people, say they post some art that they did and they get lots of compliments on that, that's a big ego boost. But if they are finding that those interactions online are negative, they're not getting the attention that they were hoping for, they're getting negative attention, then we see that having a really negative impact. The other thing that we see a lot in terms of negatives from social media is that comparison of my life versus everyone else's life. And everyone's putting their shiniest picture of their life online, not the boring things or the bad things. And so when they compare their entire life and all the positives and negatives with someone's shiny vacation photos, it's really easy to think that everyone else's life is better than mine, or they're having more fun than I'm having, or they have more friends than I have, when that is often just a perception.
She adds that it isn't necessarily a crisis because it has some potential benefits, but
left unchecked, it could certainly become a crisis within individual families just based on exposure that kids might have to content or people that their parents might not approve of, or ways that kids might be sharing information that parents really need to be aware of in terms of their own mental health or their interests or other activities that they're doing. The internet is full of things that look very real and correct that are absolutely not factual. And so it's very important that parents are aware of what their kids are accessing and how that's impacting their education, their beliefs, things that they think are true around, you know, their own health or sexual health. Those are things that we certainly don't want them finding misinformation online and assuming those things are true with great consequences.
Social legislation among teens has changed over the years.
We're certainly seeing that they are far less interested in the same hanging out in person and engaging in the same way that teens used to. A lot of times when they're hanging out together, there's still a lot of phone time that's happening, as opposed to, you know, pre-smartphones when kids had to just hang out and talk to each other. So we certainly have some concerns around the communication impact and the social impact in terms of the intensity of relationships that people are having, because they're not getting to know each other in the same way that they previously would have. That said, you can form some really strong relationships online as well. So it's not that they're not forming those social relationships. They just look different, and we're not entirely sure what to make of that.
Health professionals agree parents need to be involved.
Ideally, parents are involved straight out of the gate, setting expectations for what that use looks like and what the oversight is going to look like. If that didn't happen, I think it's completely fair for parents to say, okay, we might have mishandled this to start with. Here's how things are going to look moving forward. And we certainly don't want to take a one-size-fits-all approach with that either. If your child is being very responsible in their use of social media, then we don't have to breathe down their neck and read every single message that they send. But it's like any trust situation where that trust is earned, and if that trust is broken, then we need to back things off and re-earn that trust again.
Sarah Young says it is important for youth to understand that social media is an important and effective tool, but not the only tool. It is important to be able to have in-person interactions and communication. The enrollment period for affordable health care coverage is open. Melissa Kay reports.
Wisconsinites statewide can sign up for health insurance now through January 15th. The open enrollment period began on November 1st and extends through January 15th, 2025. More than 250,000 people in Wisconsin signed up for health insurance during the last open enrollment period. Signed into law in 2010, the Affordable Care Act ensures people can access health insurance without lifetime limits and protects the coverage of people who have pre-existing conditions. Another key provision of the ACA, authored by Senator Baldwin, allows young people to stay on their parents' insurance until the age of 26.
A recent study by the American Journal of Medicine found that alcohol-related deaths more than tripled in Wisconsin between 1999 and 2020. According to the report, there were 356 alcohol-related deaths in the state in 1999, but nearly 1,100 in 2020. Those numbers include both short-term causes, like alcohol poisoning, and long-term conditions, like liver diseases. Alcohol-related deaths across the entire country doubled over the same span, showing the Midwest and Wisconsin specifically outpacing the rest of the country. Ithaca School District's 4K screening for the 2025-26 school year is coming up soon. The screening is a great opportunity to prepare your young child for the start of their education. Brittany Penfield is the 4K teacher at Ithaca Elementary.
For screening, we're looking for children who will be 3 or 4 before September 1st, 2025. 4K is not required, but it's really a great start and kind of the whole purpose of 4K screening. And we like to call it 4K and developmental screening since we are screening 3-year-olds as well. It's a really good opportunity to see if there's any concerns or anything like needs that could be met. And we could kind of get the ball rolling on that, such as speech and language, any cognitive delays or things like that. And we really make sure to check over the whole child. We use a screener that's called the ASQ3, and it focuses on 5 different developmental domains like cognitive, fine motor, gross motor, personal social, problem-solving skills. And then when they're in, we get to also assess their health with the school nurse, and we get their vision checked and their hearing checked usually. We're looking at the whole child to make sure they're off and ready to start school and have that success.
You can choose from one of the 2 days available for the screening. Jenna Whipperfirth is the early childhood elementary special education teacher for Ithaca Schools.
We are holding our screening on Thursday, January 23rd and Friday, January 24th. For some reason, if there's an inclement weather day, we'll make that up on Friday, January 31st with the same appointment times that were originally scheduled. Our screening appointment times take about an hour and a half, so parents will sign up for a time and Mrs. Newkirk spends time with parents during that time, and then Mrs. Penfield and myself are actually working with the students. When I say working, I mean playing, just getting to know them and looking through those developmental domains just to kind of see where the kids are at.
There will be various activities to help them learn more about the child being screened.
We will take the students into the 4K classroom to, like I said, play with them. They will be building with blocks. They'll be using markers, coloring pictures, coloring things. There's lots of toys and things that they get to use in the 4K classroom as well. Reading books, those kinds of things. It's very important to read to your kids at home. So just kind of having that experience with those books and things is really important as well.
To schedule a screening time, Brittany Penfield says that you must register in advance.
So if you're interested, and this includes children within the district, children outside of the district, it's a good chance for anyone who would like their child to attend Ithaca Schools to sign up. And you can do that by going to the Ithaca Public Schools Facebook page. We have a post that's pinned at the top of the page where there are two links. So it's a two-step process. One of the links takes you to a registration form that you will fill out. It's pretty brief, just giving some general information about your child and how to get a hold of you and send you materials. The second is a sign-up Genius link where they'll actually sign up for the appointment slot that you'll bring your child in for.
Ithaca School District's 4K screening times will be held from 8 until 3 on both Thursday, January 23rd and Friday, January 24th at the Ithaca Elementary School. If you have any questions, you can contact Brittany Penfield by calling 608-585-2311, extension 513, or by email at brittany.penfield@ithaca.k12.wi.us. What if you were the only one in your family to never bag a deer? That's the fate that has befallen Reuben Sody of the Sody clan, who lives in the UP. Will this deer hunting season be the one to change his luck, or is he somehow cursed? Escanaba in the Moonlight is a down-home comedy written by Jeff Daniels of Dumb and Dumber fame. Daniels grew up in Michigan and understands youpers, line and kugels, UFOs, cards, backwoods, whiskey, and possession of native spirits. His stage play was made into a movie starring himself in 2001. The Community Players of Southwest Wisconsin will be holding auditions for the comedy on Tuesday, January 21st and Wednesday, January 22nd at 6:30 in the Richland Center City Auditorium. Director Andrew Sharp says they will need 5 men and 1 woman to complete the cast. No acting experience is necessary and everyone is welcome. No singing or dancing is required. Performances will be March 14th, 15th, and 16th in the Richland Center City Auditorium. Behind-the-scenes people are also needed, especially anyone who can help build a set. For questions or more information, email communityplayerssswi@gmail.com or call 608-538-3848. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection reminds Wisconsin dairy processors to apply for the next round of dairy processor grants through January 17th. A total of $200,000 is available for this round of dairy processor grants as part of the biennial budget signed by Governor Evers. Eligible applicants must operate a licensed dairy processing plant in Wisconsin that is engaged in pasteurizing, processing, or manufacturing milk or dairy products. Funding from these grants can be used to address a wide range of dairy business needs, such as food safety, staff training, plant expansion, or modernization, and professional consulting services. Grants will be awarded for projects up to $50,000 and 2 years in duration. Processors must provide a match of 20% of the grant amount. More information and the grant application are available at datcp.wi.gov/pages/ag development/dairyprocessorgrants.aspx. Applications must be submitted to datcp.dadgrants@wisconsin.gov. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is hosting a free fishing weekend Saturday and Sunday to share the fun and excitement of winter fishing. During free fishing weekend, anglers of all ages can wet a line in any Wisconsin waters open to fishing without a fishing license, trout stamp, or salmon stamp. All other 2024-25 hook and line regulations, including bag limits, size limits, and species restrictions, remain in effect. While most trout streams are open during the catch and release season on free fishing weekend, there are trout streams, spring ponds, and lakes that are closed to fishing. Please review the trout regulations or check with your local biologist if you have questions about specific waters. For trout streams that are open, only artificial lures are allowed, and anglers must release all trout caught. If you plan to keep fish, review the DNR's safe eating guidelines to stay informed of potential consumption advisories impacting some water bodies throughout the state. Today's winner of $25 in the Crime Stoppers calendar raffle is William Butteris of Lone Rock on ticket number 220.